You know, so much of life is right at our fingertips today. Things that used to be so hard to get are now just everywhere for the taking. For example, travel. It used to be unheard of that you would take a trip around the world, and it's an amazing thought that you can wake up in your bed in the morning and go to sleep that night on the other side of the planet. And if you save some money, instead of just giving it to a missionary to go make an impact, now you yourself can go make an impact around the world. Travel has become an incredible experience at our fingertips. Knowledge. All we have to do is Google it. All we have to do is look on YouTube if you want to learn something. Knowledge that used to be hard to get now is on your iPhones. Training. If you want to know how to flip a house or cook a new recipe, all you have to do is turn on the television. And you can be trained in almost any venue of life. Communication. I was at dinner the other night with a friend of mine, and his daughter is a photojournalist in Thailand. And we're sitting at dinner, and somebody asked him the question, "Hey, does your daughter happen to know this person in the same town that my friend is in?" And he picked up his iPhone and he pushed FaceTime. And FaceTime is a video telephone call. And he called his daughter in Thailand and said, "Hey, do you know so-and-so?" And they're looking at each other on the phone. He woke her up at 8:30 in the morning. And she said, "Dad, why are you waking me up to ask me a question about if I know so-and-so?" And she said, "Yeah, I was just in their house the other day." And he said, "Okay, thanks." And he hung up the phone. And why? Because they talk all the time now on Facebook. You can have an instantaneous communication. It's crazy how the world has come to our fingertips. What used to be so hard to be involved in or hard to participate in now is ready, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you know, there's so many good things that come along with that. And we should take advantage of every new technology. We should take advantage of every new opportunity that comes our way. But as in every culture, when there's advances made and when new doors open up, sometimes bad things accompany the good things, don't they? There's a bad side to communication. There's a dark side to travel. I was getting off a plane a couple of months ago, and as we were standing up waiting to exit, the gentleman in front of me picked up his phone and turned on the app Tinder. Tinder is an app that you can get a one-night stand with somebody in a city that you're visiting. And he was visiting the city where we were going, and he decided he wanted to meet a girl. And so all he had to do was turn on his app and name that city. And there were lots of ladies that would be willing to meet with him. Ashley Madison, you've heard of that website. Ashley Madison is a website where married people can go specifically to meet someone to have a marital affair. And you can create an account. Well, somebody hacked Ashley Madison's website and exposed all the names and addresses of the tens of thousands of people who have accounts there. And somebody told me the other day that 400 pastors resigned in America the next week. I immediately canceled my subscription. But there's a bad side, right? There's a bad side to everything, right? There's so much good that's out there. And so many wholesome things that we can participate in and we can engage in. And what we need to be careful of is we need to be careful of the dark side of things. Our culture tells us to enjoy everything, to explore all avenues of life, to experiment with everything that is available to us. But we as followers of Jesus need to be careful about loving our culture too much that we embrace not only the good, but we embrace the bad. There's an interesting character in the New Testament, and his name is Demas. He's somebody that is only mentioned two or three times in the entire Bible. And the first two times that Demas is mentioned, he's mentioned as a faithful partner to the Apostle Paul. As Paul travels around the world, at the end of many of his letters, he always gives a shout out to the team that's with him. And Demas is mentioned in several of Paul's shout outs. But in the last letter that Paul wrote, the book of 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, Demas is mentioned again, but these are the words that are used to describe him. He says in verse 10, "For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Demas was a servant. Demas was a follower. Demas was a partner. But as he looked out into the Roman culture of his day, there were some things that just enticed him a little bit too much. And he decided one morning that this following Jesus stuff was too hard. It was too countercultural. And there's just too many things that I can enjoy out there. So I'm going to leave this and I'm going to go embrace culture. And you know, that's a little bit of our dilemma today. Our so-called enlightened in culture tells us to try everything and see what sticks, and then to become that. But how do we, as followers of Jesus, have wisdom? How do we know what to take away? How do we know what is going to be most satisfying to us? How do we talk with our children and our grandchildren about all of the things that are available within our culture, but to give them a grid in which to look at issues in our culture to say, you know what, I'm going to grab onto that and I'm going to let go of this. How do we teach them that grid? How do we teach them to have that kind of wisdom? How do we have that kind of wisdom for ourselves? That's the question that we're going to try and answer this morning. We've been going through this series, The Battle for the Black and the White. And as I have done almost every week, we describe the white, our good and wholesome activities and practices that God would want us to be engaged in. The black are unholy or wrong or immoral or sinful activities or practices that God says, you know what, those activities, they don't represent me, they're not what's best for your life, and they're going to hurt your relationships, so stay away from those wrong things and engage in the white things. And then there's this thing in the middle called the gray. And the gray is where issues in the culture where the Bible doesn't say they're right or wrong, and God kind of leaves it up to our own personal choice, our own personal conscience. And we've been trying to get the gray back into the proper proportion, because one of the things that I've noticed in my life and in the life of the Christian community is that the gray has consumed much of the white and much of the black. Now, what we used to say was good for us to do as Christians now has become optional. Should I read my Bible? Should I spend time praying? Should I try to have regular time with God? Should I witness to my friends? Should I go and make Jesus famous somewhere around the world? Should we come together as a community of faith? All these things that used to be, yes, this is how you grow in your relationship with God. Now some of those things have become optional for us. And on the other side of the coin, some of the things that we always tried to stay away from are things that are now too becoming optional for us. And so we've been trying to get this gray area back into proportion. And this morning, I'm going to do two parts to this particular topic, sex, drugs, and vaping. Now, I was going to call it sex, drugs, and what? Yeah, because if you're over 40, that's what you say, right? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Which is coming out of the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. It was all about the free spirit of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Well, if you're under 30, there's so many different genres of music. Most likely you don't listen to rock and roll. So I changed this couple of weeks called, now I'm calling it sex, drugs, and vaping. Because that's the newest thing. That's one of the newest things coming onto the scene. And I want to talk for this week and next week just about how do we discern what is good and grab it, and how do we figure out what could grab us and so we avoid it? Okay, so if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The first point in your outline this morning is, you know, we better master potential addictions before they master you. Most likely, tragically, most all of us know someone or maybe several people who have been entrapped in some form of addiction. And we just see their life being consumed and their lifelong battle to stay out of the grips of that addiction. Many of us here this morning are fighting that battle ourselves. There has been something in our culture, something in this world, something within us that has grabbed us and it has wreaked havoc in our life, and we're addicted. And so this morning we want to talk about how do we master potential addictions before they master you. Now, first of all, like we do every week, we want to hear God's voice. When it comes to the issue of how do I choose what is right and what is wrong, not necessarily what is legal or illegal, but what is right and what is wrong, what does God say about these types of decisions in our life? Well, first of all, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, it tells us, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is what? Evil, and cling to what is what? Good. See, so many times we are taught, I was taught as a young Christian, we need to stay away from evil. We need to abhor it. And you know what? That's true. We need to get to the point in our lives where we are offended by evil. But the last part of this verse is to cling to what is good. So there's kind of a two-sided approach. God doesn't just want me to avoid bad things. He wants me to find good things and to cling to those. And you can see the two different extremes, abhor and cling. And so as we walk through these types of issues in our life, and we all face them, the question is this good or is it bad? Is it potentially good? Is it potentially bad? And I need to either kind of push it away, or I need to embrace it. I need to embrace it. God says, abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. This week and next week, we're going to be landing in this paragraph of chapter 6, verse 12 down through verse 20. But this morning, I wanted to focus primarily just on verse 12. Watch what Paul says here. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are what? Profitable. That word profitable simply means beneficial. When I look at my life and I want to move forward with good stuff, if I want to create and ask God to help me create a good and wholesome life that is rewarding and is satisfying, there are some things that I need to ask myself, is this profitable? Is it good? Is it good for my witness? Is it good for my relationship with God? Is it good for myself? Is it good for my relationships with other people? Is this particular activity profitable? Now, it doesn't mean that we can't do any activity, but it means, is it profitable? All things, he repeats himself here, watch this. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by what? Anything. Paul says, you know what? I'm not going to let anything master my life. I'm only going to be mastered by God. Anything in the culture that is offered to me, whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether it's profitable or not profitable, that's the first question. The second question is, can it grab me? Can it grab my life and take me somewhere I don't want to go? Paul says, even though it's lawful, I'm not going to do it if it's going to grab me. Because some of what we're experiencing in our culture today are things that are completely lawful. They're legal to do, but are they profitable to do? And on the swing side, they might be legal for me to do, but can they grab me? And can they become my master instead of God being my master and leader? Paul says, even if it's legal, if it's not profitable, I'm going to stay away from it. And number two, even though it's legal, if it can grab me and take me somewhere I don't want to go, I'm going to, my hands off, I'm going to stay away from it. So God would give us the same instructions. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, this is also Paul talking, and he says, I discipline my body and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be, what? Disqualified. Paul is a spokesman for God. He's a missionary. And he says, you know what? I want to be an effective missionary. And so I discipline my physical body. And I make my body my slave. Because if I give my body to something that is not profitable, or if I give my body to something that can grab me, then I could lose my opportunity to be a missionary. And when he says here, I myself will not be disqualified. He says, I don't want to be disqualified as a missionary or an apostle. I don't want to be disqualified as a spokesman for God because something has come into my life that might be perfectly legal, but has taken me away from my focus, and now I have lost my ability to be the spokesman for God. And you and I, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, are the current spokesmen and spokeswomen for God. We are the ambassadors of Christ, the Bible tells us. And we've been given the message of reconciliation, and we've been given the mission of reconciliation. There's not an Apostle Paul walking around in your neighborhood today because God put you in your neighborhood. There's not an Apostle Paul walking around your office complex today because God put you in your office complex today. God put you in your school today. And part of the reason he placed you there, and I believe intentionally placed you there, is so that you can be an example of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But I can't do that if I allow things, even though they're legal, to come into my life and to take me away and become my master. So Paul says, I discipline my body and I make it my slave. So God would have us discipline ourselves. In Ephesians, we have the Apostle Paul again, and he says, be careful how you walk in this world, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. And lastly, in the book of James chapter 1, James tells us how things can become destructive in our life. And watch this, this is so important. He says this, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. When I'm tempted to look at something that I shouldn't look at, or say something that I shouldn't say, it's not God tempting me. God never pushes us or moves us toward temptation or evil. But look at here, it says, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Which means there are things inside of me that can carry me to places I don't want to go. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not God's fault. It's my own stuff that's inside of me that sometimes flares up and it takes me somewhere where I don't want to go. And he says there, it's enticed by his own lust. And when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. You say, well, what does that mean? That means that when I'm tempted to do something God would not want me to do, I can stop it. It's not yet turned to sin. Just because you're tempted to do something doesn't mean you've sinned. When you take that temptation to the next step of action, that's when it leads to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. And then he says, don't be deceived, my beloved brothers. Because sometimes I can think that sin is not wrong. Sometimes I can think that, you know what, the problems that I struggle with are your fault or someone else's fault. And so God says, no, it's stuff that is inside of us. That's why Paul says, I have to discipline my own body and I have to make it my slave. Because even Paul knew that there was stuff inside of him that if he let go and unleashed, it would lead to the dark side of life, to the dark side of culture. And he didn't want to go there. He didn't want to go there. So now that we've heard God's voice, let's look at a couple of principles. I wrote a couple down there for you. Number one, we have to be careful Because sometimes moral freedom can become moral bondage. Sometimes we can do something that's completely legal, that is socially acceptable, and that the Bible doesn't tell me not to participate in. But if I'm not careful, that freedom can become a bondage. Because all of a sudden I let this issue into my life, and I wake up one morning realizing this issue has a much stronger pull on me than I anticipated. And now, instead of it just being a freedom that I enjoy, now all of a sudden it's something that I have to do and I'm enslaved to it. One issue could be money. You can become enslaved to money, right? We all know people that are enslaved to the idea, to the acquisition, to the spending, and to the acquiring of money. Money has become their God. How many of you watch Shark Tank every once in a while? You watch that show Shark Tank? Okay. The guy that always sits in the middle, Mr. Wonderful, okay, he says very boldly and clearly, my life is about money. I want more of it, no matter how much I have. I wake up every morning thinking about it, and I would describe that gentleman's life as someone who has taken the freedom and now has become a bondage. And we have to be careful, because things in our culture that are just free to engage in can become an addiction. So now it's binding me. As Paul said, it's become my master. And he said he will be mastered by nothing. The second thing that we need to understand is the more, you like that picture there? That's most of us in a room, right? That's, I took a selfie of myself in the mirror. So I'm the guy in the mirror, all right? Okay. I was reading a couple of weeks ago and they made a brilliant statement. The author made a brilliant statement. The more aroused I am, the more potential to be self-deceived. If I allow my emotions to get worked up about this topic, if I allow my body to become overwhelmed with this idea or this activity, the more I'm emotionally aroused, the more potential to be self-deceived. The more sexually I'm aroused, the more potential there is to be self-deceived and to think that what I'm about to do is okay when it's really not okay. We have to be careful. That's why, again, Paul said, I make my body my slave. I have to be careful about what I allow myself to get all excited about. Whether it's an intellectual arousal, an emotional arousal, a sexual arousal, whatever it is, just an excitement about participating in this particular event, I look forward to it, I get consumed by it, whether it's a television show, whether it's gambling, whatever it might be in my life, it is consuming my thinking, and I'm so excited to get off work or to get out of school because I can't wait to go participate in this particular activity, whatever it might be, and all of a sudden I can become more self-deceived and think that that is okay, when if I step away from it and allow my emotions to calm down, I realize that it's not okay. You hear this all the time from people that find themselves in legal trouble. They get caught up in the deal, in the business deal. And they hedge a little bit and they make some extra money. And so they hedge a little bit and they make some extra money. And pretty soon that making the extra money becomes just such a high for them. And so they continue to hedge. They continue to compromise. And all of a sudden they get caught and they get bankrupt and they go to jail. And they sit back 6 months later and say, what in the world was I thinking? I was so caught up in this that it just swept me away. And you know, Christians can fall into the same trap. In fact, in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, it talks about Christians who get caught up in sin. See, sometimes I know sin is around the corner and I'm going to go do it, and I volitionally choose to go do it, but sometimes sin just smacks me on the head and I find myself caught up in it. And Paul says in Galatians, when you find yourself or find a friend caught up in sin, go help them spiritually. Why? Because Paul knows that sometimes we can get so mentally, emotionally, sexually aroused that we begin to think that right is wrong and wrong is right. And so Paul says, hey, let's keep control of our emotions. Let's keep control of our thinking. Now, Paul's personal position is this, and this is what I want to highlight this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul would say this, if a lawful activity has no inherent profitability, then I will avoid it, not even giving it a chance to become my master. That's the wisdom that Paul is trying to explain. That's the wisdom that God gave to Paul and asked Paul to write it down so that as we live 2,000 years later, God is a good father. He wants us to live good lives. And so he gives Paul some wisdom to write down so that we can read it a couple thousand years later. And we would say, you know what? That is a good mantra for life. Any lawful or legal activity, if it doesn't really profit my life, if it doesn't help me walk better with God, if it doesn't help me have better relationships, if it doesn't help me bear the image of God in a greater way, if it doesn't help me give Him glory, if it doesn't help me in my family, you know what, then there's probably not something, that's not something I want to be engaged in, especially if it's something that could become addictive. So, we're not talking about simple things. And the reason I'm not labeling specific activities is because they're all different for all of us. What can grab your life won't grab my life. And what can grab my life won't grab your life. So I'm not going to stand up here this morning and come up with a big long list of things that we need to avoid because it's all different. And you have the freedom in God to do what God would want you to do, but you have to be careful. We have to be wise. And so Paul says, you know, there's a lot of things that I can do out there. There's a lot of legal, lawful activity. My wisdom, he says, my filter is to just ask the question, you know what? Can this thing grab my life? And if it can grab my life, then I'm going to try to avoid it. If it's not really super profitable for me, then I'm going to try to avoid it. If it has no inherent profitability, then I'm just going to set it aside. Now, you and I have to discern what those things are for our life. But what I want to point out this morning is that our culture is teaching us and telling us, no, try it all, do it all. There's really not that many harmful things out there. And our wisdom says, no, there are harmful things out there, so just be careful. Use your wisdom. Paul says, you know what? It can be perfectly legal. But you know what? It doesn't really help me in my walk with God. So I'm just going to abstain. It could be perfectly legal, but I'm going to watch over my life and be careful. Now, what lawful activities can become addictive? What lawful activities can become addictive? Well, things I see. We're going to talk more about things we see in the sexual arena next week. But would you agree, sometimes things that I like to look at can become addictive to me? You can say yes, it can become addictive. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. Sometimes things that we see, we want to see them again, and we want to see them again, and we want to see them again. And pretty soon, my whole day revolves around when I get to see them again. When I get to see it again. When I get to watch it again. Okay? It's football season. How many football widows do we have in the room today? Okay? Okay? Things that I taste. I like tasting that. I like eating that. I like drinking that. And there's nothing wrong with them, except that it's moved from a freedom to now it's bondage. Things that I smoke. Things that I touch. Things that I emotionally enjoy. So basically, everything in our world can become addictive, right? And you know what? That's the point. That's the point. So I have to have wisdom in what I choose to engage in. Because almost anything, if we take it to an extreme, can become my master. So Paul says, You know, there's a lot of things out there in our culture, and our culture is sending them before us and saying, experiment, explore, try this. And we just need to say, you know what? Before I go down that road, I just need to think about this and use some wisdom here. And as my body begins to crave those things more strongly, I need to make my body my slave. You know what I like about that verse? That verse tells me that I'm in control of my body. You are in control of your body. Turn to your neighbor and say, get better control of your body, okay? Why? Because our culture says, you know what, if you fall into addictive behaviors that master you, it's not your fault. And we can say, well, you know, through the Lord's strength, I'm going to discipline my body, Paul says, and I'm going to make it my slave. My body's not going to be my master. My body's going to be my slave. So, cultural freedoms today. Current cultural freedoms. I just have two categories. One, as I look out in our culture today, there is a strong push for self-gratification. We can see it in a lot of different forms. We can see it in marijuana as it begins to move across our country to become legal for recreational use. People are encouraging us, enjoy it, it's legal. But we know that it has the potential to grab you, right? Alcohol, vaping, internet pornography. We are being told by our culture, enjoy, indulge. Life's about you and your gratification. And so we need to use wisdom and to say, you know what, some of these things or the extremes of those things, I just need to stay away from. You know, as I was doing my reading these last months to prepare for this, I started reading a lot about vaping. Because I don't know, I want to talk for a minute because vaping is new on the scene and vaping is being done all over the place. I was on a plane, again, that same plane I talked about with the man with the app. As I was sitting there coming home on the plane, I noticed the gentleman across the aisle in one up was smoking an e-cigarette on the plane. And it didn't offend me, didn't bother me at all, but I just wondered, what is that? What is that stick he keeps putting in his mouth? Okay, it's an e-cigarette, and vaping is essentially smoking an e-cigarette. Okay, so if you have kids or you have grandkids, most likely, if they haven't experimented with it, they have friends that have, and it'd be great to be able to have a conversation. Basically, in a nutshell, vaping is taking the place of smoking cigarettes. Where people used to smoke cigarettes, now cigarettes has become uncouth in our culture today, unacceptable, and so an alternative has been developed, and it's called e-cigarettes or vaping. And basically, an e-cigarette has three components, and you can see it there on the stage. It has the battery and the atomizer and the inhaler. And basically, what you do is you buy a little bit of this liquid. It's called juice in slang, okay? It's called juice, and it contains a couple of things. It contains water. It contains a couple of chemicals to give it a sweet taste. And then it is infused with nicotine at different levels. You can buy different levels of nicotine. A cigarette typically has 16 to 18 milligrams of nicotine in it. Well, you can buy juice for your e-cigarette, and it can have 0, or it can have 6 milligrams, 10 milligrams, 20, and it goes 30, 40, 50 milligrams. And then it has some artificial flavoring in it. You can get cherry, you can get apple pie, okay? You can get all these different flavors. And what essentially happens is when you inhale on the e-cigarette or the pipe, the battery heats up the water and it becomes vapor, and you inhale a vapor. You inhale basically molecules of water. It hits the back of your throat, and and it gives you a jolt there, or a jack there, they call it, okay, a throat jack, and you begin to absorb the nicotine into your body, and you get a little high, just like when you smoke cigarettes or smoke a cigar or chew tobacco, you get this little high from the nicotine. But there's no carcinogens in it because you're not smoking a leaf or you're not putting tobacco in your mouth. There's no tobacco in the product. It's just the nicotine. And millions of people are actually using this method to get off of cigarettes, because it's much healthier for you. And when you exhale, okay, and you blow out the vapor that you've inhaled, it's called a cloud. You blow out this big cloud like you did when you smoked. But the difference is that the water vapor is not harmful to other people, okay, and you can actually take small puffs on your e-cigarette when you're vaping, and you can just blow out little clouds, and the clouds are essentially just water. So there's no danger necessarily of secondhand smoke, or because there's no smoke in it at all. It's healthier for you physically because you're not inhaling all those carcinogens when you smoke tobacco. Okay? So this is the new rage. This is the new replacement for cigarettes. Now, the problem is that when you put this nicotine in it and it's at different levels, when you first start smoking it or inhaling it, then you don't know how that nicotine is going to impact your body. You don't know how these chemicals are going to impact your body. And so there have been some cases where the first time people have vaped, they've become extremely ill because it has ignited asthma. It has ignited even a heart issue or a stroke. And there's been a couple of cases where people have died when they started vaping because of the reaction in their body to the chemicals. Although they're not tobacco, it's not smoke, these different chemicals that are in the juice or in the liquid. So this is vaping. You can talk to your kids about this. You can talk to your grandkids about it, because if they haven't tried it, it's like trying to smoke a cigarette. You know, when I was, I don't know if I should say that, but when I was a young kid, my grandparents lived next to me, and I snuck down into their house to visit them, or I went down to their house to visit them, and when they weren't there, I found some cigarettes on the counter, and I tried some cigarettes, and it was terrible, but I got sick because of them. And so people are trying this today. So he's trying the vaping. Now, what I want you to notice here, and this is an advertisement from a vaping company, is that the question is vaping safe? Okay, and it says here, various studies have proved that vaping is a far safer alternative to smoking. However, as vaping is new, the long-term effects are unknown. So we have to be careful, right? We have to be careful. One of the dangers, in my opinion, of legalizing marijuana is we don't know the long-term effects. And number two, we don't know how much is too much. We know in alcohol, if you pass a certain limit, that you are legally drunk. But we don't have that limit on things like nicotine and things like marijuana. And if we go back to the story, I think it was last year, where that race car driver ran into that young man that was on the track because the young man got bumped in the race and got upset and got out of his car on the racetrack and subsequently got hit. The toxicology report on that young man, the doctor concluded that he had had too much marijuana earlier in the day and it impaired his judgment. The issue is we don't know what that line is. So to make marijuana legal for recreational use, when you don't know what the line is, in my opinion, is not very wise, because some people can have a little bit and it's no big deal. Some people can have a little bit and it impairs their judgment. The same is true with this. See, this is the thing that happens in our culture today. Our culture is telling us, try all this stuff. Experiment. Explore. Okay? And Paul would say, you know what? Let's think about this. Let's think about this. Let's talk about this. Because maybe, perhaps, it's not the wisest thing for us to engage in. Self-gratification. The second and final cultural freedom that I would categorize is kind of negative, but I called it the degradation of others. Our culture seems to be encouraging us not only towards self-gratification, but also of feeling the freedom to put other people down. And if you look at all on social media today, people have the sense of freedom to speak their mind about people they know nothing about. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go just to a couple little passages. I put them there on your notes. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to show you something. It's in Romans chapter 14, verse 15, but it's also in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. Paul is giving a discussion about being a good testimony to other people. And we need to be careful that our freedom doesn't violate someone else's conscience. And why? Verse 11. For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined. The brother for whose sake Christ what? Christ died. Paul is saying, you know what? That person is so valuable to God that Jesus came and died for that person. So be careful how you treat that person, because God thinks that that individual is so valuable. He came and died for that individual. So for me to denigrate or to gossip about or to slander or to just be mean-spirited toward the person whom for whom Jesus died is a place I don't want to go. Does that make sense? But we live in a culture where we have anonymous social media. It's so interesting to read an article on the internet and just scroll down to the bottom and read the comments. You ever do that? It's interesting how the comments tend to start out positive, and nobody uses their real name in the identification line. It's all your online name. And it's usually not very long before that conversation turns negative and then critical and then just flat out mean. And there's a sense where people feel the freedom to express their meanness toward people they don't know and toward people from whom Christ died. And so Paul says, let's be careful how we talk about other people. Another passage you can write down there is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, which simply says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only such a word that benefits the one that's listening. And I like to change that just a little bit, make it more modern. Let no unwholesome typing come from your fingers, except that is profitable to the one receiving the email. Let no unwholesome texting come from your thumbs, except the kind of texting that lifts up the people that are going to read the text. And there is an appetite within us that loves to say what we think about other people, isn't there? There's something within the human nature that likes to spew drama. And our culture has captured that and put it on television for us. And some of the television shows that we're wrapped up in are wholesome and good and incredible. But some of the reality TV shows that are out there appeal to something on the darker side of us. And we have to be careful not to unleash that, because we have to be careful on what we're going to allow to grab a hold of our life. I mean, all of us, if we were honest, want to vote somebody off our island, right? We all have people that we would want out of our life. We all want to keep up with the Kardashians. Well, there's something inside of you that wants to be rich and famous. And even if you have to be a little melodramatic to become rich and famous, we might be, if we really had the chance, we might take advantage of that opportunity. And we just have to be wise. So these are the two cultural freedoms that I categorize that we're battling as followers of Jesus. Self-gratification at any cost, okay, or without any forethought or wisdom. And then second of all, the degradation of other people anonymously. The Bible completely talks about how if I have a problem with somebody or they have a problem with me, how to work that out. But the way that the Bible prescribes us to work that out is not to put an anonymous comment or to send a secret text, a a blind email or a secret text. Let's not get into this cultural issue. Let's not get into this cultural issue. And then next week, we're going to talk about sacred sex, the ultimate kind. Because you can't go very far in our culture and not get confronted with the issue of sex in one form or another. So we're going to continue this idea of sex, drugs, and vaping next week. And we're going to get into this idea of sacred sex, it's the ultimate kind. Again, from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. My goal this morning is just to give us wisdom as parents, as young adults, as teenagers, to say, Lord, my culture says it's cool to do a lot of things. But some of those things, although they're freedoms now, can become our masters if we're not careful. So my encouragement to us is to pray. I put a prayer on the screen. Lord, help me to love what you love. And give me wisdom to stay free from potentially addictive behaviors. Because if you talk to any addict, in whatever category of addiction they find themselves in, they would all tell us, I wish I'd never started down that path. Because a freedom has become my master. So as we close today, let's pray. And as we pray, let's think of our children or our grandchildren. And let's take a moment and just pray for them and ask the Lord to give them wisdom to stay free from addictive behaviors. Pray for them by name. And let's take a moment and pray for wisdom for yourself. Say, just ask the Lord to give you the knowledge between good and wholesome and potential dangers, and that He would show you the way to stay free from those things that might bind us. Gracious Father, we thank you that you're such a loving dad, that throughout the generations you had your authors pen some words that came from your very heart, words of wisdom, words of insight, and you gathered those writings together into the book we call the Bible, and you preserved the Bible throughout the generations and the centuries, so that we today could read what others have written and we can glean their wisdom, which is your wisdom. Thank you for telling us how to avoid the traps of culture. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would give us that wisdom, that we would abhor what is evil and cling to what is good, and we would adopt Paul's philosophy that if it could be possibly an addictive behavior, Lord, I'm going to use wisdom and discernment and not just jump in. And Lord, our culture continually entices us, as it did Demas. Our culture entices us to try it all, to explore and experiment. But Lord, we want you to be our soul master. We want you to be our Lord. So give us the wisdom to look at the things that we face and to know your plan and your path for us as we follow you.